So before I began this morning, you remember last week, we had a time for healing prayer after our service. And so Emily, the Lord touched Emily, and I'm asking her to come and just share with us what the Lord did in your life. Right? Okay, I usually do. All right.
I'm so excited to...
I thought I did. Now it is.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Turn it up a little bit.
I'm really excited to share this with you guys today. So for a little while, I had been struggling with having a difficulty time sleeping. As I would fall asleep, I would get like electrical shocks in different parts of my body for a while, in my heart and in my feet. And it was very painful and scary. And last Saturday, I had that happen at nighttime again, and prayed about it. And I knew that I needed to talk to Pastor Brad. That night, I was like, okay, I need to talk to Pastor Brad about this. And then the Holy Spirit let Pastor know to have a time of healing for people. And so I ran over to him. And this week, I met with him and Kelly, and they helped with prayer heal some things that I needed healing. And I know now that I am worthy of love and healed from that. And yeah, and so, yeah, and so are all of you guys. I just would say that if you are struggling with something, God wants to be victorious over that and wants all of your heart. And so allow him to do that. Talk to Pastor Brad. It's worth it.
Okay, good. Good. We want to, you know, when the Lord does something in our lives, we're told in Scripture to share that with our brothers and sisters and share that with the world, because oftentimes people don't know the power of God until we share that with others. And so I want to give opportunity to those whom the Lord has touched to be able to address those issues. And I don't think you'll mind me saying this, we found that there was an anxiety in her heart. And so we were able to address the anxiety issues. And so, and you probably know by now, if you've been around here quite some time, that emotional issues often cause physical problems. And so oftentimes when you deal with the emotional, then the physical goes away. And so just laying that out for you. And again, welcome anyone who feels like there's a connection between what you're experiencing emotionally and what you are experiencing physically as well. Sometimes there's, maybe it's just emotional and you just need to address those issues. So anyway, we're going to be sharing this morning again this idea of worship. It's very important that we learn how to worship, we learn what it is and how to go about it and why we do it. That's kind of what the focus of this series is worship. And I've learned a lot through this series. I think sometimes the teacher or the pastor learns more in their studies than they're able to share with those who are listening. But I'm hoping that I'm able to convey the truths that the Lord is teaching me so that you can walk in a spirit of worship. We have a focal passage. And first, to worship means what? To kiss. And it's our way of demonstrating our affection to the Lord. We learned last week in Psalm chapter 22, verse 3, that when we do that with a whole heart, when we do that with a heart magnifying him that he likes to sit and watch and participate and hear the worship that's taking place. And if you were here last week, you experienced that. When the dancers got up to dance, it was like the Holy Spirit just fell on this place, and we were able to experience God in our presence witnessing worship. And I don't know if that came across on Zoom. I don't know if it comes across whenever you're watching the sermon online, but if you're here, I know you felt God's presence here last week. And so anyway, we want that to happen every week. Yeah. Amen. But a lot of it's going to depend on us. It's going to depend on our heart. It's going to depend on our worship to the Lord. So passage of scripture. The scripture we kind of start with every week, John chapter 4, verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You remember this is when Jesus was talking to the Samaritan lady, and she's asking, where should we worship? How should we worship? And Jesus is answering her question. The hour is coming, and now is. And now is. Say now is. When we worship him in spirit and in truth. So there are two aspects we want to consider this morning as we direct our attention to this focal passage, and that's worship in spirit, and the second one is to worship in truth. So, the first, in spirit. You need to understand that in order for you to worship in spirit, you must have a spiritual rebirth. You must be birthed into the kingdom of God. In John chapter 3, Jesus is talking to a fellow named Nicodemus. He's a Pharisee. And he comes before Jesus and he says, Jesus, we know you're a man sent from God because no man can do the works that you do except God sends him. And Jesus says, and it's like off point, we think. He's not responding to Nicodemus' spoken need. He's speaking to his heart need. And so he tells Nicodemus, most assuredly I say to you, unless a man is born again, he will not enter, he will not see the kingdom of God. And this kind of puzzles Nicodemus, and he says, well, how can a man be born a second time? Does he enter his mother's womb again and be born? And Jesus said, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus and to each of us, you've got to be birthed spiritually before you can worship in spirit. It is the spirit of man that connects to the spirit of God. You have a spirit. When you were conceived and in your mother's womb, sometime in that process, God created a spirit and put that spirit in you. You were made in the image of God. That is that part of you that's made in the image of God. Cows don't have it. Chickens don't have it. Baboons don't have it. Trees don't have it. Fish don't have it. But every human being has it. Regardless of your nationality, regardless of your culture, regardless of how you grew up, regardless of your home life, every person ever born in this world has been given a spirit created by God for them to commune with him. And that's one of the things that we talk about when we talk about abortion. What we're doing is we're killing a child that God has created, and we're killing a child that's carrying a spirit of God. And so that's why we're so opposed to abortion. It's because we are anti-murder. And so our spirit, listen, even though we have a spirit given to us by God, our spirit is, Scripture says, dead or lies dormant until we receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. When we receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, then our spirit comes alive. Look at this passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. You he made alive who were dead. Every one of us were dead men walking at one time. Every one of us. And when you go out on today and you go to the shopping or you go out in the busyness of this world, you're going to see a lot of dead men walking. You're going to see a lot of dead people walking. You were once dead. But when you received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, there was something that happened in your spirit. And what happened was that you became alive spiritually, and you began to see things differently. You began to hear things differently. And you began to walk in a different manner because the Holy Spirit began to commune with your spirit. You became alive. Is that truth? That is truth. If you do not know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are still dead. You are dead in your trespasses and sin. But Jesus came to make you alive, to make you whole. You may be here this morning and say, well, I just don't want to trust Jesus as my Savior. Well, that's your choice, but you will stay dead the rest of your life, and you will be eternally dead, separated from God forever. God wants to make you alive. He created you to be alive. Jesus said, I came to give you life and give it more abundantly, but we can't have that life, and we can't worship him until our spirit comes alive. So we must worship him in spirit. If you do not know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you really can't worship him no matter how hard you try. It's an impossibility because you have a dead spirit in your life. There's a passage of Scripture, and you know, there's a lot of people who doubt their salvation. And I walked in that for a long time. But there's a passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 8, verse 16 that says, his spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. When I received Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, I didn't have to have anybody convince me I was a child of God. I didn't have to have anybody else. God convinced me that I was a child of God. It's his spirit that bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. And listen, if you're living in doubt about your salvation, then I want to encourage you to get with someone who can help you clarify that. That's the most miserable place in the world to live, is doubt whether or not you're going to go to heaven when you die. I know because I live there. The second aspect of this phrase, in the spirit, has to do with connecting, not with just the mind, not with just the will, not with just the emotions, but connecting spiritually. Did you know that you could just worship God without your spirit being involved? Yeah, even so, we are, probably you remember as a kid being taught prayers, God is good, God is great. Let us thank him for his food. By his hands we're all are fed. Thank you, Lord, for our daily bread. So, I mean, I was taught that as a kid. But you know, I was really not, it was just rote. It was just mindless words. Or, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before, I think the world don't like that, if I should die. But we're all going to die, right? If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. You know, when I was like 3 or 4 years old and praying that prayer, I didn't think about die. I didn't think about death. I didn't even think about the words. It's just now we need to encourage our children to pray. And those are some good ways to teach them to pray. Just pray those words. And you know, a lot of times we pray the Lord's Prayer, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, but our heart's really not in it. Did you know that it's possible to sing worship songs here at church and our heart really not be in it? It's just a mindless activity. But here's what I know. Once you get your spirit involved, the mind gets involved. And there are a lot of people who try to work up the spirit by emotionally getting, oh, grunting and, you know, crying out. And it really doesn't work. But I will tell you what, this works. If you get your spirit involved, then it will affect you emotionally. My dad used to say, and I agree with him, it's not how high you jump, or how fast you fall, or how hard you fall, but it's how straight you walk when you get up and your feet hits the ground. I like that. I like that. But worship does involve our emotions. And we need to, if the Spirit leads, raise our hands to the Lord. If the Spirit leads, we need to shout to the Lord. Don't quench the Spirit. We need to do what the Spirit tells us to do. And don't think about what everybody else thinks, just as they think about what is God thinking. What does God want me to do? Now, I've seen it going to the other extreme where I want everybody to see what I'm doing. And, you know, I want to show them how spiritual I am by the things that I'm doing. And you've seen it too. Look at me! We don't want to showboat in here, right? But we want to show God our allegiance. We want to show him our worship. We want to come into his presence with truth in our spirit. Worship should affect our emotions. We need to connect with the Spirit. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. It is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For who? What man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So what he's saying here is that we connect with him through the Spirit. Through our spirit, his spirit connects with our spirit connects with his spirit, but it's impossible to do that if we are not a child of God, if our spirit has not been renewed, if our spirit has not come alive. We connect with him through the Spirit. True worship flows from our spirit to his spirit. If you are a worshiper, you will recognize that there are sometimes during worship that God reveals himself and reveals his plan in a greater way than any other way. You remember John on the Isle of Patmos? Scripture says he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, let me tell you, John was not in the best circumstances. He was not eating steak and lobster for lunch. He was probably being ridiculed even by the other prisoners on the island. He was in a dire situation. He didn't know if he was going to live or if he was going to die. Everything was coming against him, and yet he was in worship on the Lord's day. Now, you would think, I don't want to worship when things are going bad. I don't want to worship when everybody's against me. I don't want to worship when I'm viewed as a criminal by our government. I don't want to worship. But that was not John's attitude. He said, regardless of what I'm going through, regardless of what's happening to me, regardless of my circumstances, I'm going to worship anyway. I'm going to worship anyway. I'm going to worship anyway. And what would have happened had John not been in the Spirit on the Lord's day? We would not have the book of Revelation. Because he decided, I'm going to worship anyway. I'm going to worship regardless of what anybody else says, what anybody else thinks. I'm going to worship my Lord. And so on a Sunday, he got up. He said, this is the day I'm going to worship the Lord. And he began worshiping the Lord. And the Lord caught him up and showed him visions of things to come. And we have in our Bibles the visions that God showed him. Let's worship anyway. Even when we don't feel like it. Even when our bodies are not acting like they ought to act. Even when everything around us is dire. Let's worship anyway. Let's worship anyway. Let's worship anyway. I want us to be a worshiper. I want us to be a worshiping church. So just determine, I'm going to worship anyway, regardless. I'm going to worship anyway, regardless of what the doctor says. I'm going to worship anyway. He does not have the final say. She does not have the final say. My God has the final say. And I'll choose to follow him regardless of how my life is directed. I'm going to worship anyway. So, the second aspect of worship Jesus shared is that we need to worship in truth. Did you know that many people are in opposition to God? That's probably not a new thing that you've just realized. But see, we need to know who God is. In order to worship him in truth, we need to know his character. We need to be able to, regardless, people are trying to make God into their image. And they're trying to make a God after their own desires. They're trying to create a God that will make them feel good, regardless of what they're doing. But we need to know what God's character is. Did you know that he's a holy God? And that he's not going to change his mind about what he's already shared in Scripture? Did you know that? He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is ever-present. He will never change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is constant. He is dependable. We need to worship him in truth. We need to worship him for who he is, not who we want him to be. God's word is truth. So don't be deceived. There are a lot of people in this world who will rather receive deception and speak deception rather than truth that God has spoken. Now, the world is preaching error. God is truth. God's word is truth. Now, Scripture says don't lie against the truth, and we'll get to that passage in a minute. We need to listen to what God's word says. Listen to what God's word says regarding our culture in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. That leaves a lot of people out, right? It might leave some of you out. But then he goes on, listen, I love this part. And such were some of you. Such were some of you, but you've been washed. You've been sanctified. You've been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I fall into some of this, okay? We're all sinners. Every single one of us has violated God's commands. Every single one of us, we are here. And such were some of you. Such were some of us. But God has called us out. He's washed us. He sanctified us. He's justified us. He's made us clean. Praise the Lord. 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 Let's not reject the truth. Okay? Just because we don't like it doesn't mean we should reject it. I would say, especially if we don't like it, we need to receive it. Because the truth sets you free. A lot of people think that God's word holds you in bondage. God says, I came to set you free. Jesus said, I came to set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul said, it's for freedom's sake that I have set you free. It's for freedom's sake. So don't be carried back into bondage. If I have set you free, stay free. Hey, a lot of the Galatians were going back into bondage. And Paul said, stop it. Don't go there. Jesus has set you free. Be free. Be free. Be free. Turn to your neighbor and say, be free. In Jesus' name, be free. Scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 6, and you'll recognize this as being the love chapter. It's talking about what love is. It says love does not rejoice in iniquity or in sin, but it rejoices in truth. So when you receive truth, rejoice in it. Even if your soul rejects it, even if you say, oh, I don't like that, rejoice in the truth because God is trying to set you free. Let the Holy Spirit reveal those things to you so that you can be free. Such were some of you, and now you're free. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There are many people who are in opposition to Jesus, but Jesus is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way. Jesus is that's truth. That is truth. Jesus cannot lie. Is there anything impossible for God? There's one thing. It is impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for God to lie. That's what Scripture says. So anytime God speaks, it's truth, whether we understand it or not, whether we like it or not, it's truth. And if you want freedom, you will abide in His truth. You will receive truth. You will accept it. You will put it into your life. You might say, well, I don't believe that. I don't believe what God says. Well, in Romans chapter 3, verse 4, it says, let God be true, but every man a liar. Let God be true, and every man a liar. Worship in truth, the third thing, worship in truth means that we are honest about our spiritual condition. We are honest about our spiritual need. Now listen, many Christians, let me say it this way, many who are not Christians, as well as those who are Christians, are in opposition to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. David wasn't. David had a heart, a desire to be holy. And look at Psalm 139, 23, and 24. He says, he's praying. And I would encourage you to pray this prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Have you ever prayed that? If you want to be pure, if you want to be holy, then what you're willing to do is open the doors of your heart, open the chambers of your heart, and just say, Lord, look in every chamber of my heart and see if there's any wicked thing in me, because I want to live in a godly way. I want to live in a righteous way. I want to live in a holy way. But see, there are a lot of times when the Holy Spirit comes to us, we don't want to hear it. He convicts us of something, and we're I think I'd rather read a book. I think I'd rather watch TV. I think I'd rather go to bed. This is depressing. If we had ears to hear. And listen, I'm not talking about just sins that we do that we shouldn't do. I'm also not talking about sins of omission, things that we ought to do that we're not doing. Did you know there's a scripture that says, the man who knows to do well and does not do it, to him it is sin. And you know what? For us as Christians, I got to get away from that. I got to get away from that. I don't do that anymore. I ought not do that anymore. But what is the Lord telling you ought to do that you need to get involved in doing? Scripture says that if we do what God says, we become his servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord, thou good and faithful servant. So a lot of us say, well, let somebody else do it. I know that needs to be done. Let somebody else do it. There's lunches that need to be provided for Mississippi. Let somebody else do it. That's not my gifting. How much gifting do you have to make a sandwich? To him who knows to do well and does not do it, to him it is sin. And so what we need to do is listen to the Holy Spirit and just move when he says move. Do what he says do, and you will experience the joy of the Lord. One more passage, maybe. So James is talking to believers. In chapter 3, verse 14. He says to these believers, if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Did you know that many Christians carry bitterness in their heart? Envy, self-seeking, and they think it's okay. But do you know you'll never be able to worship God in spirit and in truth until you address those issues in your heart and you forgive those that you have been holding animosity toward? I know that's hard. It's very difficult. Some of you have been through many abuses throughout your life, and those people who should have loved you, should have cared for you, should have provided for you, should have taken care of you, didn't do it. And you've got some hurt in your heart. Jesus said, I came to heal that. But what I've discovered is I've got to do my part in forgiving before he can do his part in healing. Okay? I just want to submit that to you. Some of you need to take that home today and chew on it. Because God wants to heal you. But he can't do it as long as you're holding that stuff in your heart. Bitterness, envy, self-seeking attitudes. Do not lie and boast against the truth. The truth is we need to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. And we need to just surrender to him and say, yes, Lord, I am coming before you, I'm laying it down. God has good things for you. I was a Christian and I carried bitterness in my heart toward my brother for many years. I have a sibling that's just older than I am, and we used to fight. I'm talking about fist fight daily. I threw a punch at him one time. He threw up his arm and blocked it, and I broke my thumb. Here's the thing. My dad was a preacher, and he said, we cannot ever say that we hate someone. I never said it. truth is, I came to a place where I needed to confess it. Did you know God knows what's in your heart? But why do I need to confess it? He already knows. We need to own it, don't we? We need to own it. And so me and God wrestled a while about that. But finally he won. But I won. Because I was able to release my brother. And now he and I have a tremendously close relationship. It's amazing what God will do when you confess your sin, when you give your life to him. It's amazing how he will transform your life. Here's the truth. We all need forgiveness for sin. That's truth. The truth is we've all violated God's commands. The truth is that Jesus is the only one who can guarantee the removal of sin and make us right with God. That's truth. So the question is, are you a child of God? Has your spirit come alive because of your connecting with God through Jesus Christ? Have you ever been truthful with yourself and with God about the sin you're harboring? Are there areas in your life where you've closed your ears about certain sins because you're unwilling to give it up? I would say don't harden your heart against the Lord. Because what happens is pretty soon we build calluses around that part of our lives and we're no longer able to hear God speak to us the way we once did. You may have heard God calling, correcting, encouraging, and you just like, nope, I'm not going to listen. I don't want to do that. Don't harden your heart against the Lord. Yield to his spirit. Be truthful with yourself. Be truthful to God. Will you? As the worship team comes and plays, will you confess to God and repent? Or will you continue to go the path you're going? It's your decision. God is calling. God is calling. I'm going to invite you to come pray. I'm going to invite you to come pray with me. I'm going to invite you to come and pray at the front. Kneel down. Get your heart right with the Lord before you leave here today, because I want you to experience freedom in Christ.